You know, Roland, when you said you found a grill, this isn't exactly what I had in mind.
What'd you expect, Johnny? Benihana?
No, there's no dials, no tanks, no side burners. I mean, I wasn't expecting a built-in wine fridge, but this is nothing like what I'm used to.
Come on, Johnny. You're talking to a grill master. Do you know that I've been given 3 different aprons because of my barbecue skills? Let's see, I've got license to grill, I've got working grill, oh, and I have grills just want to have fun.
Just so you're aware, this has nothing to do with me not knowing my way around a grill. I've watched many a personal chef flip a burger in my day.
I've got the perfect apron for you. Poor little rich grill. I'll get it made up.
TBTL.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? It's Friday! Friday! Gonna get down on Friday!
Everybody's looking forward to the weekend!
A lot of times in a meme war, it's about speed. You gotta get to your memes quick. If you can't get to them quick, you're useless. They'll just keep blasting you with memes, and you can't fire back.
How about, like, pranking an animal?
Sure.
Punch an elephant.
Sure.
Done. I'd punch an elephant.
You cannot prank an animal. Animals don't know they're being pranked.
Well, hello, good morning, and welcome, everybody, to a Friday edition of TBTL, the show that just might be too beautiful to live. Here we are, back in the comfortable confines of Seattle, Washington.
Bring it back home, baby. Bring it back home.
Coming to you from the offices of Walsh, Walsh, and Doormat, my name is Luke Burbank. I am your host.
Mimi!
Lots to talk about here on this Friday edition of the show, which is episode 3003 in a collector series.
Let the fun begin.
Of course, we will reflect a little bit on our time in New York City, which was a total blast. We have one more of our 3000th episode show celebrations, TBTL 3K Tourable, thanks for asking, tonight on the boat. If you are on your way down, I've been told it's Pier 44. I believe we were saying Pier 45 or Dock 45. Just look for that. Look for Pier 44. That is what the email said to me from the boat people. I believe they're next to each other. My friend Andrew just got the most terrified look on his face, which makes me want to just bring him onto the show right now. He, believe it or not, he's a complete catch. All you have to do is study it out. He is Andrew Walsh, and he is very nervous. What is going on?
I'm sorry. I'm already ruining the show.
No, you're not.
I think it's 54 and 55.
Oh, okay.
Not 44 and 45.
But are we on episode 43?
But now I'm really nervous that ruining the phone, the show while we Google around.
No. Hold on. Let's see here. Hi, Luke. We are so excited to have you on the water with us. Your captain for the cruise will be Captain Steve Turner. It's Pier 54 on the Seattle waterfront.
Okay. We have been saying 55 everywhere.
Well, that's the offices.
I see.
And I think, but again, they're next to each other, but I'm sorry. Although, you know what? If you didn't get a ticket, I'd say come down because some people are going to go to the wrong pier now.
Yeah,
so
right.
There may be a few spots.
Do you want me to kill my mic now? You can do the rest of your intro?
No. Pier 54 tonight. We will be getting on a boat with the tens of listeners and doing our final one of these shows, which is exciting. And also, I got to be honest, it's going to be a relief when we're all done. It has been a pretty hectic week. You've been holding up admirably, my friend. I know that travel, multiple cities, bringing gear around, recording shows, posting them. You did a Hey Dummies yesterday. You almost died on the mean streets of Brooklyn. What happened to you?
So the Hey Dummies video, which will be coming at you in the TBTL newsletter any minute now, wasn't the Hey Dummies traditional format where I answer
where I eat a
question.
Some kind of
right.
vegetarian product on
right.
air,
where I spend $25 on fake rib meat that I throw away. I just wandered around the streets of Brooklyn, kind of near our hotel area there, and just thanking the listeners. I was feeling. You know how you say tired and emotional, or we say tired and emotional mm-hmm. When we mean drunk? I was just literally tired
and emotional.
I wasn't drunk. Might have been a little bit hungover, but I basically just did a 4-minute, I love you guys, because I really do love you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a hell of a week. It's been kind of a lot of stress, a lot of fun, but a lot of kind of up times. And then I think I might have been crashing a little bit yesterday, and I think I was feeling in a good way, just kind of overwhelmed mm-hmm. with everything, right? We had just done two shows. We had two, great meetups with listeners. I was going to say intense. That has a bad connotation. But, like, I had so much fun, especially after the New York show. Got to spend several hours hanging out with people and getting to know a lot of our listeners, which was tons of fun. And then on, what's today?
Friday.
So Thursday.
Today's my Friday.
So yesterday when I recorded that thing, I was just feeling really overwhelmed with love and emotion mm-hmm. and tiredness and everything. And so I just recorded a quick thank you guys for being you guys. And then the moment, I stopped recording, I almost got run over by a car on the sidewalk.
What?
Not a car pulling up into the driveway, like, perpendicular to the sidewalk. I mean, driving on the sidewalk at me.
What was it like?
Brooklyn, baby!
Yeah, right? I mean, why were they driving on the sidewalk?
I was like, I had just finished recording and I turned off my phone, but then I'm looking down at my phone to make sure it recorded. And I do hate being that guy who's right. walking while looking at his phone. So I wasn't paying a lot of attention to the area around me, but I was in an area.
Being on the sidewalk, I think you were reasonable in assuming it would be a car-free zone.
Or that a car wouldn't be, like, literally driving at me on the sidewalk. And it was outside of a hotel, sort of. So I think they were just, I mean, you know that neighborhood well, but a lot better than I do. There's just, like, a lot of, like, interesting parking dynamics
right.
in that neighborhood. Like, things, people, there was one area I noticed where people just, like, back their cars in and park the trunks of their cars on the sidewalk, literally. It's just jam-packed, right? And I think this guy was just like, I don't know if he worked for a hotel or a garage near the hotel or what it was, but they were just kind of stacking cars up on the sidewalk.
Huh.
You know, like picture like maybe a repair garage or something like that. Yeah. Sometimes they have to do interesting things. So this guy, and then he gives me a dirty look. Like, it was such a, I'm walking here kind of situation. I'm on the sidewalk. And then he and I just both glared at each other through the window in the, like, split second that I had to respond.
I mean, seriously, you have...
I'm walking here!
Oh, maybe I did get it on tape.
Also, did you have time to pick up that large sheet of glass that you were carrying across the sidewalk?
Right.
Had you exactly. stacked that final orange in that pyramid?
Right, right.
Of, like, car chase things that always get destroyed in the 70s car chases?
Well, they were hoisting a piano above me.
Oh, yeah,
I remember that.
That was weird timing.
Very weird.
Well, I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you made it back. I have to say that I had a weird coincidence happen on Wednesday night. So one of the folks who came out to the live show was asking in the Q&A session if I would consider eating crickets mm-hmm. or if I would eat insects. And she came armed with actual samples. And then we all ate them on stage. You, me, John Hodgman. It was a fun time. The first time in my life I've ever had crickets. So I realized when when we went back to the hotel, you and I, that I was actually still kind of hungry. Because truth be told, my vegetarian burrito was mostly mushroom, which mm-hmm. I don't mess with. So I was a little peckish. I was talking to Carrie on the phone, and so I thought, I'm gonna duck into a little place and grab just a quick bite to eat. And the place I ducked into was this place. Well, I can't remember the name, but that doesn't really matter. I think it was Claro, maybe. But I look at the menu and I ask the guy, I was like, okay, this tomato salad, is this vegetarian? And he goes, actually, the dressing on it is made out of crickets.
What the hell? We're in the cricket district.
I was. 43 years of my life, zero crickets eaten. Within 1 hour, I'm having crickets twice because I ordered it and it was delicious. I was sharing it with some of the listeners at the New York after party.
The dressing?
Well, I couldn't eat all of it.
Oh, okay.
So I brought it in a little, I thought the coincidence was so crazy. So I brought it in this little, you know, to-go box and people were just kind of eating it with their hands and everyone agreed. Cricket dressing, very good. But like, what are the chances that I had actually had to make a decision about if I was going to eat crickets or not? And then 40 minutes later, it was presented in my real life as an option. And I was like, well, I'm a person who eats cricket. I eat crickets. So, yeah, that's fine.
It's so rare that a dressing is made out of any kind of a meat or a protein, right? Like, maybe there would be something with bacon in it. I could see, like, what is the logic behind a cricket dressing?
I couldn't tell you, but it was flavor delicious. It was super salty. It had some umami going on. Mm-hmm. It was great. And the guy said to me, oh, yeah. And I told him the story. I said, this is so funny. I go, I just had crickets like a half hour ago for the first time in my life. And he goes, oh, yeah, if you come back on a Sunday, we make a Bloody Mary. We put ants on the rim.
What?
I was like, why? Am I in? am I in a cricket or in an insect-based restaurant? I wasn't. I know. It's Brooklyn, baby.
Yeah, it's Indiana Jones, baby.
One other thing. I said this was going to happen, and the prophecy has come true. You know how we've been saying Bonvoy kind of dismissively and with a certain amount of sarcasm because it's not a real word, and it's just silly. And also, anytime we have a bad experience with the hotel chain that uses Bonvoy, it's kind of fun to say it snarkily. Mm-hmm. Well, when I was in the car going to the airport in New York, I realized, well, you know, by coincidence, we had stayed at two Bonvoy properties. And I was like, yeah, you know, maybe I'll see what the point situation is. And so I downloaded the app, Andrew,
mm-hmm.
and they got me. I'm in their web.
Well, I kind of assumed, but I think we talked this on the show. I figured that, like, you, because I know you had signed up for it for the internet. Did you not at the other place? You had never had to download it. I assumed you're already on this game.
I'm not on the game. That's the weird part. So obviously the airplane stuff I'm super into. The like rental car stuff, I love being a wizard. I feel very wizardly when I walk up to an Avis. But I've never, for whatever reason, gotten into the hotel game. I just mm-hmm. stay at whatever seems like a – like if I'm traveling and CBS is paying for it. Mm-hmm. I just want to stay somewhere that seems kind of nice and is near stuff I want to do or near where the shoot is. It never occurred to me to try to be consistent with my hotel choices. But – so even though I'm signed up for the various things you can be signed up for, I don't track it. I don't know the password. I don't know how to get to any of the information. It's just not something I've been very conscious of. But this app is, I got to say, incredible. It's the most gamified of any of these apps. And it was just like I was, you know, kind of bored in the car early in the morning going to catch my flight. And I was just like, as it started to sort of like – do its little machinations, I was like, oh boy, I'm a Bonvoy boy. Like, I was like, this.
How many points do they give you for if you drink the little floaties that are in their Keurig coffee machines that end up in your cup?
Because, like, I was like, you know, here's the thing, Andrew. What I found out was, without even trying, I am very close. I'm dangerously close to becoming lifetime Elite silver, which I don't think it really, that's the lowest level you can be, honestly. But okay. I could be lifetime elite silver, Andrew.
I just think they could have come, I mean, if they're going into Bonvoy, then elite silver seems so generic. Bonvoy seems so specific, right. And then elite silver is like two words that sounds like nothing.
I will tell you one thing, though, that was amazing. I landed, and because of the time difference, I actually got to Seattle really early, and I kind of wanted to go take a nap because I had gotten up really early. And I go on the app, and they're like, do you want to check in now? I'm like, yeah, can I check in at 10 a.m., which I was like, they're going to say no way. They go, your mobile key is ready. They just suddenly my phone is a key.
Yeah, that is one thing that I saw signs
10 in the
about.
Morning.
Yeah, that's like, pretty cool.
And then I just went and had a nice little nap there at the old Residence Inn. So
yeah.
It's just one of those many things like Power Out, like Dazzling Deet, that I'm now going to probably be a person who says Bonvoy to people unironically. And I don't know if I'm ready to be that person, but that is the reality of my life.
I know I'm going to say something. You're going to want to take a break and then come back to this, but I'm telling you, it's not worth it. So let's just put 2 minutes on the clock, and I'll tell you very briefly about my airplane miracle yesterday. I think a lot of airplane talk on the show this week. I don't want to lean into it too much, but our flight back from New York to Seattle, I booked a few weeks ago, and the flight was really packed. You could tell there weren't many options for seats. So I took the only thing I could take, which was a middle seat. I was just kind of like, well,
like a 6.5 hour flight.
Yeah, I think maybe 6. And so I'm like, well, you know, I have had a few weeks to be prepared for this. I will try. You know, I will check in at the last minute. I will keep checking, see if anything opens up. I talked to Genevieve, and she's like, ooh, that's rough. She's like, you know, I have this Alaska Airlines credit card. She's like, she's like, I mean, it's worth it. Like, you should just upgrade. We can use my card. We'll get some triple points or something for that. So just, you know, don't be shy to look at that, too, if it's an option. So I kind of have that in the back of my head. I'm doing this thing where it's like I'm going to be proactive and see if I can upgrade or find a better seat as the flight approaches. But I'm also not going to obsess over it because I don't want to feel even worse
right.
if I'm stuck in the
middle
seat
the whole
way. You don't
want to be super emotionally invested – and then let down.
So anyway, Thursday morning, I open up the app. There's nothing available. I go to upgrade. Nothing available even to pay for. I'm like, I always thought you could buy your way out of anything. I've just never tried. Apparently, that's not always true.
That's not the Bonvoy way, Andrew.
That's not the Bonvoy way. And so I end up getting to the airport pretty early, like significantly early.
By the way,
surprisingly,
that was funny because we were originally going to be on the same flight.
Yeah,
but Carrie had this event in Seattle last night, and I wanted to go along with her. And our original flight wasn't going to get me there in time, so I was able to change at no cost to American Public Media or the donors of the day. I was able to change to this super early morning flight because it was out of the same airport and whatever. And I was a little – I felt kind of bad because I felt like I was ditching you. But I felt like Andrew's a big boy. Yeah. You can figure it out. But then I thought – and you were like super cool about it. You're like, yeah, totally. Go do that. And
because we weren't sitting together or anything.
Right. But yeah. But also I realized at some point then you can also go to the airport as early as
right,
you want.
Right,
you don't have to kind of – we all, you and I always have this slightly joking but not joking negotiation if we're flying together about what earliness looks like for the flight. And I like, if it was up to you, you'd probably be there 2 hours. If it was up to me, we'd be there 2 minutes before the flight.
Right.
We try to go somewhere in the middle. So it was like, I was happy for you that you could go to Newark Liberty Airport at whatever hour of the day you felt comfortable with.
And it's Newark, so it's a bigger airport. I'd been there once before. I know it's not the most inviting airport as far as airports go. And also, like, I had a lot of work to do. I had to write the newsletter, and I was thinking, like, I had to get out of my hotel at 11. I'm making this too long now. The flight wasn't until 4:20, dude. So I get lunch at this tiny little like kitchenette in Brooklyn near the hotel. But then I'm like, okay, I have a few hours. I can like walk around this neighborhood for a while looking for like the perfect coffee shop where I can settle in, hopefully find power next to the table I
want. Hope there aren't any cars driving through the coffee
right.
shop.
And then set up camp and do part of the newsletter here and then eventually get over, you know, into New Jersey so that I can get on. And I was like, just head over there, get through security. Security is kind of a nightmare for me with all this equipment. So I'm just like, get through all of that, get close to the gate, plug in somewhere, and just work for a couple of hours. And so that just kind of – I don't know that you would do it that way, but it seemed
I actually
better
increasingly
than finding
do,
like
believe
a,
it or not.
Yeah. So anyway, so I get there pretty early. I actually got to my gate around like 2 hours before takeoff, but that was good. Found a power plug. Not easy in Newark. Found several that didn't work, but then eventually found the one. Just found the one. It was waiting for me the whole time. Sit down. I'm getting some good work done. But before I got to the gate, I checked downstairs at the place where you can maybe get tickets if you didn't check in advance. Like, I guess the baggage claim place. And I said to the guy, hey, I just want to double check. Like, I'm not seeing any upgrade availabilities, but I just want to – he's like, you do that at the kiosk. I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm not seeing it at the kiosk. And I've checked the app a bunch. I just want to see if maybe there's something I'm not seeing. And he's like, no, this is a really packed flight, man. There's nothing. I got nothing but middle seats. I'm like, okay, fine. He's like, check again at the gate, but it's not looking good. So I wait a couple of hours. They start boarding. I go up to the gate. I say, I've been trying to upgrade. Is there anything maybe to get me out of this middle seat for the 6 hour flight? The woman looks and she's kind of like, you can see she's got the furrowed brow and she's like, no. I mean, there's an aisle seat. I'm like, that's what I want.
Jalapeno!
I was like, yeah, that's great. I mean, it's not an upgrade. She's like, not an upgrade. I'm like, I just want to be away. So listen to this, because I don't even think you know the back half of this story, which is only 30 more seconds, I promise. So I'm super excited. It's way near the back of the plane.
Yeah.
That's fine. I'll take the aisle. I feel like I've won the lottery.
Yeah.
I sit in my seat. I'm the first one in my row. Then a woman who's kind of a sophisticated – I can't explain why, but she's like a woman who's been traveling all over the place. She reminds me of a kind of a character from a movie. She just sort of seems like a sophisticated woman. She's got this hat that she bought in Portugal that she's talking to the flight attendant about, and she's saying how everybody should try to make it to the Kentucky Derby if they can at some point in their life. And she lives – I find out later that she lives in a house that was built in 1911 in Victoria.
British Columbia.
So – she's just kind of a lady of a certain air. Very nice, but like just kind of a lady who has seen the world, and I'm kind of impressed with her and in a certain way.
A real Portuguese hat lady.
Yeah, a real Portuguese hat lady. So, because at first I'm not – when she says something like, everybody should go to the Derby if they can, I'm sort of like, oh, is this woman – I don't know. I almost was at first like, is she kind of like a prickly pear kind of above it all kind of lady? Turns out she's super sweet. She's in the window. I'm in the aisle. Nobody's between us. And she gestures down and says, do you want to put your bag under? Or no, she said, do you mind if I put my bag under the middle seat here? And I said, no, no problem for me. Like, just as long as nobody's sitting here. She's like, nobody's sitting here in the middle seat. And I said, well, what do you mean? How do you know? It looked like it was packed. She said, this is exactly what she said.
Jalapeno! Jalapeno!
It was Shep Smith.
That's right. And she said, well, they said that nobody's sitting here. I checked right before we got on the flight. So, and I said, okay. And I did to her what I did to you when we were leaving for Australia. I said, okay, don't say anything else. I said, just be quiet. Just be quiet.
Yes.
She's like, yes, okay, okay, fine. And she's like playing my game with me. And then she looks down and she's like, okay, but if it does happen, you should put your bag under there. Look, like, you don't have any room for your legs. I'm like, no, it's fine. I feel like I've already won the lottery if this thing works out. But we're not saying that this thing is going to work out. Just be quiet. But turns out she was right. We start taxiing. I say, not until wheels are off the ground. I said, not. And wheels are off the ground. We fist bump. She insists I put my bag under the middle seat. It was wonderful. Aisle seats,
Andrew,
nobody to my right.
That is awesome.
So great.
I couldn't
have been more happy.
Seahawks won.
That's
Everything's
right.
coming up Walsh.
It was really – I really felt like I was braced for one of the worst flights of my life, but braced for it in a way that I felt like, you know, I can do this. Yeah. But instead, it was just fantastic.
That's great. Well, that's good. You're going to need that positive energy to help pull off our final of these 3,000 shows.
Mm-hmm.
Tonight is going to be – it's going to be interesting.
Don't make me sit in the middle on stage.
All right. Let's take a quick break, and then when we come back, we will thank some donors of the days. Of course, it's Friday, so we got music for your weekend and some top stories as well. Stay with us. It's TBTL.
Scared in case I fall off my chair, and I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
I'm always compelled now when we play this song to mention one of the greatest tweets of all time, which is clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. I'm graduating from clown college. This is one of the proudest days of my life.
I don't remember that. You think you've mentioned that before?
I think I have, because I, or maybe I just reached. Let's see. Clowns to the left of me, clown college graduation. Let's see if it will. Did this tweet make enough of an impression? Probably didn't. Anyway, somebody wrote that on Twitter. I was like, that was a funny tweet. All right. Let's keep this rolling while we thank our donors of the day. These are our Dylan-esque Diddy donors of the day. I know that's a lot of D's, dude.
I love it.
Because that's what Stephen Wright calls this song in the Reservoir Dogs soundtrack.
This movie was in Reservoir Dogs? I'm just joking.
This song.
Yes.
So let's thank Tom Kelly of Johnston, Iowa, and Suzanne Olson of Renton, Washington. How about Abigail Adriani of Chicago, Illinois? Abigail Adriani, thank you very much. Also, Kyle Clark of Berkeley, California. Tracy Van Epps of Chicago. I wonder if Tracy and Abigail know each other. And then Christopher Lemon of Bozeman, Montana. Lemon, you have the confidence of a much younger donor. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you, Tracy. Thank you, Kyle. Thank you, Abigail. Thank you, Suzanne. And thank you, Tom. If I could be stuck in the middle with any six people, it would be them. Thanks for making the show possible.
Hello and welcome to Top Story.
All right, our top story today, one of them anyway, the mayor of a South Korean town has apologized for dumping tons of garbage on the beach because, Andrew, it was a cleanup day on the beach. They were doing a big public event where they were basically going out the town is called Southwest Jindo, I guess. That's the name of the beach anyway. And they were going out to pick up litter and, you know, take pictures and do a big kind of like, let's clean up the beach thing. But there was no litter on the beach.
I thought you were going to say that. Oh, no.
So the mayor named Lee Dong Jin brought in tons and tons of litter and had it distributed all over the beach and got caught doing it.
My God. Was it worth it? Why not instead send out a press release saying, look how clean we keep our beaches?
I know. That's what I was thinking. Like, maybe you don't need to have... Well, here's what it was. This was International Cleanup Day.
Okay.
So basically what happened was this town was trying to be part of this international thing, but because they're actually on their shit, and they have no litter on the beach, they had to distribute the litter so they could have something to pick up. And then I don't actually, it doesn't say in the article how the guy got caught, but he did get caught. He said he is sorry for his deception.
Is there any details about how they distributed this across the sands of the beach?
We brought in waste styrofoam and other coastal trash gathered from nearby areas so the 600 participants could carry out cleanup activities, said the mayor. His office apologized for causing trouble and said the event was meant to raise awareness about the seriousness of coastal waste. He said the litter had been retrieved and taken care of 100%. He said none had entered the ocean. There had been no secondary pollution.
I'm picturing like airplanes that like, you know, like crop dusters or whatever, just like flying over the beach, just littering it with styrofoam cups.
Yeah. Everything is very international today, by the way, the top stories. There's also this story out of New Zealand where basically, remember how we've been talking a lot about Australia and New Zealand and about those big kind of weird birds that live down there? Remember that giant parrot?
Yes.
That lives in New Zealand?
Yes, yes.
I think it's called the, oh boy, if I guess I'm going to get it wrong. It's somewhere in this extremely long article I got from The Atlantic, by the way. It's a...
not a durian.
No, it's not.
That's a
you can smell those
fruit
from far away. Yes. I think it's called like a kaduk or something.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm guessing. I bet you one of those letters is right. This is a great article by Ed Young in The Atlantic from actually a little while ago. Basically, in New Zealand, they have a rat problem, and the rat population is actually leading to the extinction of like a bunch of different birds, including that weird giant-ass parrot that we've been talking about. And so what they're trying to do is get rid of all predators, mostly rats, by 2050. It's called Predator-Free 2050. And they're actually using CRISPR.
What is that?
Have you heard about this? If you listen to Radiolab, you'll hear a lot about CRISPR. CRISPR is a way of going in and editing the genes of, well, you can do it as a person. So you can go and you can basically take out problematic genes so that, you know, your kids don't inherit those issues. And they're actually going in, they're going to try to use CRISPR to basically edit genes in rats so that the rats will actually die off. It'll make it harder for them to reproduce, and so it'll decline the rat population. So they're going to go in to, like, I don't know how many thousands, you have to do it probably in like millions of rats, edit their genetic code, and then send them back out in the world to not reproduce effectively.
Rats must serve some purpose, though, right? I only saw the headline on this today, and I was kind of curious because you said there's another town that has effectively eliminated
their... Alberta, okay, Canada. Yeah. I saw this in the Washington Post last week. This is why these two articles kind of blended together in my mind. Alberta, Canada has been basically rat-free for 70 years.
So I wonder, though, I mean, I wonder what the purpose of a rat is, though, because, I mean, as... I know I say this practically every show, but God don't make no junk. So, like, by eliminating rats, are you creating other problems down the food chain?
I don't know. They seem to be doing fine in Alberta with no rats.
That's true.
They basically, because they have a lot of crops out there, it's a kind of agrarian community. I guess having rats was seen as like a really, really sort of damaging to the local economy.
Mm-hmm.
So, back in 1951, they decided. They decided they were going to eliminate all rats from the entire region, and they did. Alberta is protected by a bitterly cold forest to the north, mostly barren land to the south, and mountains to the west. The government has focused its efforts on the Saskatchewan border to the east, setting up a rat control zone where armed investigators keep watch for any rat that comes into Alberta. From 1952 to 1953, nearly 70 tons of tracking powder were blown underneath the permanent buildings in the rat control zone. Civilians were required to rat-proof their properties and kill any rats they saw. Authorities provided the poison, a warfarin, free of charge. And so basically they did it. They effectively got rid. They have no rats anywhere
in
Alberta.
Wow. And this other place is in New Zealand, you said, and they're starting this now. I hope they're talking to Alberta to figure out what the deal is. I don't know why. Like, I know you feel a lot of empathy towards animals these days. How do you feel about this?
I'm feeling rat empathy, which I have a real – I mean, it's not – like, there's a point at which it's not, like, rational. And also, I mean, some animals have to sort of die, I think. Like, we can't keep all of the animals alive on planet Earth forever. That's just not how any of this works. Mm-hmm. But I saw in this article that I'm reading about New Zealand, they're showing – you know how when you read an article about something and then all the ads start being about that thing?
Yeah.
So I'm seeing – there's like basically in this article now, I'm seeing ads. Say goodbye to rodents. This new ultrasonic device repels rodents. There's a picture of a baby rat. It's so cute. It's so adorable. Like I have rat empathy now.
Oh, no. Yeah, and that is true. Maybe that's the campaign. Is there anybody out there fighting for the rights of rats? Well, maybe PETA, I would guess.
That's a really good question. Yeah, I don't know where they draw the line, though, because, like, again, all of the animals can't, like, be alive. Some of them are damaging to the other animals,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, but I guess I'll bet you if PETA has anything about rats, I'm sure it's about, like, all the testing on rats and stuff, which can seem, like, very cruel, inhumane.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I'm not in favor of.
But if they just show pictures of baby rats, though, that's how you start to turn the message of rats, right?
Yeah, like...
pizza rat.
I always say this on the show, but it's like the main problem for the rats is the tail. It's just really bad PR. If they had a cuter tail, they would be fine. Do you know that the woman who jumped into the zoo or jumped into the lion enclosure has been identified? She also snuck into the giraffe enclosure, apparently.
No, really? See, now that I could see myself doing. I love giraffes.
Yes, giraffes. Somebody on... this is the show where I just repeat Twitter, basically. But somebody on Twitter said, like... how are giraffes, like, alive? Like, how do we not have unicorns, but we do have giraffes?
Right, yeah. I remember you telling me that.
Because they are the most bizarre-looking animal. Like, how did that evolve?
You know, I have such a fondness for giraffes, and I think, every time I think of giraffes, I think of my mom. It's not because she has a super, super, super long neck, which she does, actually.
Really?
Her shoulders, about 5'10". Top of her head, 7 feet tall.
Wow. She was a starting point guard for the Phoenix Suns.
I don't know if having a super long neck help you play basketball?
No, maybe soccer. Maybe soccer.
Maybe soccer.
Definitely not basketball.
Imagine somebody with a 4-foot neck flopping on the pitch. Hey, do you think flopping is becoming more problematic in football?
Yes, I do, actually.
Let's
just do this. Let's just talk a little bit about the Seahawks. I love Tyler Lockett so much.
Uh-huh.
He is a big flopper now.
Yeah.
I'm
seeing other people do it though too, I think, because the calls are getting more strict about what you can and can't do. And we both time bandited the Seahawks game last night because we were both on our respective, or I was on a flight, you were at an event. But it just seemed like there was way more theatrics, and that isn't like one of the reasons I really dislike soccer, because I feel like if I'm in a bar and soccer's on, every time I look up, there's some adult person pretending they look like a child who's like pretending like their sister hurt them or something.
Well, that's the part that I don't about the soccer flopping that I don't love is the sort of histrionics, like after the call's already been made. Mm-hmm. Like you fall down, like, you know, what Tyler Lockett does as a Seahawk, which is, you know, you could say a form of cheating, but whatever. He got bumped on a play where there had actually been, I can't remember if it was an interception or a fumble, but the other team was returning it. And Tyler's running down the field and someone bumps him and he like throws his arms up and falls down. But what he didn't do was then lie on the ground
holding his
body and being like, ooh,
which is
the thing they do in soccer. It's like, I know you didn't get hurt that bad.
I
played soccer at a very high level.
Yes.
North Seattle Christian varsity team.
But you were super high while you were playing it.
I was, like Percy Harvin.
But,
by the way, how about that? You didn't see that?
No.
Okay. Again, apologies to anybody who doesn't care about sports.
I was just out of rat content. Also, my mom loves giraffes, just to close the circle on that. That's what I think of her.
Percy Harvin, the former Seahawk, he did an interview show with this guy, Master Testaferian, who's a football writer. And he admitted to punching Golden Tate before the Super Bowl.
Oh, really?
And knocking Golden Tate into a laundry hamper in the locker room.
We all kind of knew that, but it was never confirmed.
This was like an hour
right?
before the team picture for the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God.
And he also admitted that he has anxiety disorder, and the only thing that he could take that would manage his anxiety was weed. And he said he was high every single football game.
Really?
And I don't understand that. I'm not a big weed guy, but I don't understand how you could play professional football high.
I wouldn't want to do this show. Remember one time when weed was first legal in Washington, you were like, hey, we should just like try it and do an episode. And this is before we were with APM, so there wouldn't have been. I mean, because there is that. Like, it is a kind of a, you know, whatever, state laws versus federal. We work for a company that's in a different state. I don't know how the APM folks would feel about this, but there is no reason why we couldn't have done it back then. But even then, I was like, no, that just sounds terrible. I mean, you hear me struggle talking on this show every day. Can you imagine if I was high? Well, gee, what if I ended up becoming a much better communicator?
Well, there
I'm
are
high?
Certainly people who they, you know, they claim that it actually focuses them.
Yeah, I'm not those people.
The handful of times that I've done it, I don't feel like I'm those people either. Mm-mm. But like, can you imagine running a route
high?
Right. Like, how do you even keep track of the plays?
Well, that I can picture because I do it all the time in my living room.
Playing Madden.
Playing Madden, right, exactly. Right.
But that was incredible.
Yeah.
So what I was last night basically in one of those TV commercials about the guy who wants to watch the game, but his ball and chain won't let him. Meanwhile, Carrie was like, hey, if you want to, you know, if you want to check the score, go nuts. But we had this dinner that was associated with her work, and it was lovely. We went to this place, Fair Start, in Seattle, which for folks that don't know about it, it's a kitchen, it's a restaurant essentially, but they go and they find people who are experiencing homelessness or are recently out of prison, people who are, you know, maybe having a hard time integrating into the workforce. They put them through this training program and they learn how to cook, and it's a really cool thing. It was graduation night.
Mm.
So they were graduating a couple of guys who went through the program, and just like watching these guys who you could just kind of tell in their life, maybe they hadn't been in moments like that very often. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Where it's like someone saying, like, really good job, and here's your certificate, and you did this, you completed mm-hmm. it and stuff. And like the real emotion from the guys that were graduating and everything. It was a really lovely night. Mm-hmm. But it also interrupted my football's mm-hmm. time.
Right.
And so because I have the NFL app, and it's just on there. I'm not paying any extra money, but like I went to look at the score, and there was just football playing on my phone.
It was
phone.
Streaming? Really?
Free phone football.
Wow.
And I'm like in the
different than a free football phone.
That's right. I'm in the bathroom, like using the urinal, and the phone is propped up on like top of the urinal with the football game on. And I'm just like, I can't believe this is happening. I'm watching the football game.
At the end of this commercial, there's like 50 guys all standing around the one urinal watching your phone.
Exactly. And I kind of felt like a yutz because I don't know. I feel like that's just such a trope. You know, the like guy trying to sneak a look at the football game. But I was literally that guy.
Yeah. It was funny for me being on the flight. I didn't have internet access. You can, if you're a T-Mobile customer, you can sign up for a free or just log in for a free half hour of Wi-Fi on Alaska. So usually, sometimes I try to time that. I'll probably be getting bored later in the flight, so I'll save it for that time. This time, I logged in right away to see if it was fast enough. I logged into my free account to see if maybe if I buy this, would it be fast enough to stream a football game on this plane? And it decidedly was not.
Oh, no,
so I saved some money there. But because I signed up for the free Wi-Fi, I think I was also getting free text messaging. I don't know.
Yeah, Alaska, you can text for free.
Which the way it says it on the app, it sounds like you can text with your other with your other passengers. Do you ever notice that it says text free texting with your other passengers? And I was like, well, I don't want to text with the other passengers. What does that mean?
So I not even Portuguese hat lady.
Well, we had a thing going. We could just talk to each other face to face. When our relationship breaks down, then we'll just be sitting next to each other mm-hmm. texting frigidly towards each other. But anyway, it was I think you've experienced this before. I'm not watching the game, but my phone is just bing, 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 bing with all of the texts from the fun-loving criminals.
I had 92 unread texts. By the time Carrie and I got back to the hotel, I basically was trying – oh, this is one other thing I'll mention. I reached a point. So I was watching Free Phone Football in the bathroom. And so I knew kind of like what happened after the, I think, the first half. I might have known what the score was at halftime. But then I realized, oh, this is actually kind of cool, because if I just ignore my phone, which, by the way, is a nice thing to do at dinner with your wife anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I'll just ignore my phone, and then we will go back to the hotel, and then I can watch the game on my computer because I'm recording it at our house. And then I was like, and then I won't know the score. And I was like, so Carrie, I was like, hey, try not to, like, be careful looking at your phone. Like, try not to find out the score.
Yeah, yeah.
Or if you do find out, try not to let me know, because I actually am kind of in this spot where I could watch this and experience it for myself. So we finish up with the meal, and believe it or not, we go for like a second dinner. Because
mm-hmm.
I was still super hungry. It was delicious, but I hadn't really eaten all day and had been on
just
a
one
jog.
Of those fancy formal meals where you're just
yeah.
Not, like,
and I
like,
got the vegetarian. I got the vegetarian side of it, which yeah. is a little bit more limited than the mm-hmm. you know the meat option. And also, it was around the corner from this place, Barolo, that we just love. It's this Italian place, and we used to always go there. So, like, let's just go to Barolo.
It's a big for cricket a place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's all cricket
uh-huh.
All the time. So we go in there, and I know the guy. I used to play poker with one of the dudes that worked there, like 15 years ago. Whenever TBTL started, because my schedule,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing I survived the first year of TBTL. I was totally unsupervised. I didn't have to be at the radio station until 7 p.m. I mean, if I was pushing it.
Your liver is just like dragging behind you like the speedometer
exactly.
on that motorcycle we saw in New York.
That is such an apt comparison. That was me for the first year of TBTL because I lived alone. I worked at night. I was totally unsupervised and deep into all of my vicey behavior.
Uh-huh.
And so anyway, this guy that works at that restaurant, Barolo, I used to play poker with him in various sketchy back rooms. So, and here he is 11 years later, he works at Barolo, and I see him like, how you doing, buddy? He's like, oh, good, man. I was like, you play poker anymore? He's like, nah, I had to give that up. I was like, yeah, that's the right call. And so we're chatting, and out of nowhere, this server comes up and somehow overhears our conversation or something, and she goes, well, he's just so excited because of the Seahawks win.
Oh,
and
no.
I was just like, why? Did
yes.
you have to? That wasn't even relevant to this conversation.
Yes.
Like, it was literally a non sequitur.
Well, you know, I always say that, like, if I'm going to try to time bandit the game, I go yeah. into media blackout. Yeah. I'll be very serious about it, turn yeah. off my phone. I've talked on the show before. One of my most fond memories was Genevieve and I, when we were both really deep in our Seahawks football several years ago. We were coming back from some trip somewhere, and we, like, had our phones off for the entire flight. We raced through the airport, like, right. literally yeah. holding our yeah. hands up to our eyes like blinders so we couldn't see the game that was yeah. blasting out of the bars and the... And then we get into the garage, and the guy's like wearing our driver is wearing like a Seahawks jersey, and he's like got the game on. We're like, I'm trying to think. Or no, he starts to talk about it right away, but we get in the car. We're like, turn it off. Don't say anything. Well, yesterday.
Poor guy. He should get a tip for that.
Yeah, right.
Like, he's not allowed to listen to
I'm
the game.
I'm trying to think. Did we make him turn off the game? I think
probably.
So. Or it might have been, I think the game just ended maybe, was ending or something. Anyway, point is. Sure, we give him a tip. I'm yeah. sure the point is we tipped him.
Yes.
Yesterday, I was not going to do that. I'm trying to, like, not do that too much.
Right.
And just kind of be like, well, I'll watch it later. Chances are, if I find out that they won, I'll watch it later. If not, then maybe I'll watch it. But sometimes that's depressing. But I missed two games last week, too. It's just like, hey, listen, we're doing this thing.
Life
we're
happens,
traveling.
Man.
It happens. And I just don't want it to be – I don't want to ruin everything by right. putting so much emphasis on it.
Right.
But – so these texts are coming in, and I'm reading them, and I hope this pays off. I just think it's so funny. I'm not going to read who, you know, this is a gang of us.
Are these
on
the criminals?
Text chain. Yeah, these are the criminals. It doesn't matter who's saying what. Just know that this is like three different people, occasionally four, weighing in. DK, I'm just dipping into the middle of the game here. DK Country. Wow, 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 wow. Seriously, we aren't going to run down the middle of this line. Let Russ spread the field. Jesus, Flowers. Goff ain't shit when he's pressured. Huge block by Wilson on that Disley catch. Hawks ball! And it just keeps going like, fuck. Oh, huge miss. We're never going to win this game. Like, it just goes on and on. It's like, I sort of get a rhythm of what's going on with the game, but like not when I came back and actually watched the game later, because By the time I'm in the Uber, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to be getting home exactly as this ends. So I am going to now turn off my phone,
yeah.
not paying attention. I did decide to do a little mini media blackout. But all of those text messages just gave me kind of like, it was like a mystery unfolding as I was watching the game later.
Yes.
Like, oh, is this what they were talking about there? And there's something about when you're watching a game live, you have theories about whether or not your team's going to pull it off based on how much time is left on the clock and the situation on the field and the scoreboard and everything. But when you have the added layer of, well, I saw a text that said this, and
yes,
that probably happened around here, and the panic level was here, like, it adds a whole other layer of watching a game where you don't – I legit did not know the outcome, but I knew certain beats of the game and where people were freaking out. And I also have my friend Jenny, who's living in Ohio now, but I knew her as a Seahawks fan in LA. And so she's sending me text messages like, lock it. I'm like, shut up. I don't want to know. So anyway, it was a fun way of experiencing the game. And I think now I notice, like, for you to be on a plane or whatever and be receiving all these messages.
Well, I actually was in some weird way relieved that it got kind of spoiled for me, because then I did go back to the hotel room. I did watch it. Carrie conked out. And I was like, I don't think I could emotionally handle this if I didn't know that they won.
Yeah. Because
it was such a crazy game. There were so many ups and so many downs, lead changes, and I just had the serenity the whole time until the end, and I was like, did I mishear her? Did they lose? Was she confused because the ending was so weird? They're lining up for a 44-yard field goal, and I'm like, this is so makeable for Zuerlein. I was like, so funnily enough, even though it got spoiled for me, I started to disbelieve reality.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, crap. Have I been watching this whole game in this kind of just like chill, dispassionate way because I assume it ends well, but I misheard in that loud restaurant?
Yes.
I mean, I literally didn't know what was going to happen on that last play. It was nuts.
Everything was very – I mean, that was such a – not to turn this totally into a no point, but that was such a classic – national Seahawks game.
Uh-huh.
Like, calls going our way that probably shouldn't, right to the last minute.
Oh, the roughing call?
A couple of things I thought we kind of bounced our way in a Seattle's – that, let me say, wouldn't happen to the Browns in a traditional way, sort of. But I got in the car. So, again, I wasn't planning on trying to do the media blackout until I got in the Uber. I'm like, you know what? This could work. I'm going to, like, turn off my phone now. I called Genevieve and I said, hey, I don't know if you're watching the game, but if you want to watch when I get home, just so you know, like, I don't know what's going on. She's like, oh, cool. I haven't been watching it. So we'll just start it from the beginning when you get home. And so I'm in the back of the Uber, and then I'm like, oh, we might get stuck in some Seahawks traffic. I couldn't remember if it was a home game or not. So I say to the Uber driver, who doesn't come off necessarily as a Seahawks fan, there's no indication the game's not on. And I said, oh, hey, I don't know exactly when the game ends. Do you know if it's a home game or not? I haven't really been following it closely. I'm going to watch it when I get home. And he picks up his phone. He's like, oh, yeah. Well, the last I looked, it was 24-26. I said, shut up.
Oh, no.
But all he said was 24-26. I didn't know who had 24, who had 26. And because my brain is bad, I misremembered it as 26-28, which never happened. So there was still mystery in the game for me, and I had no idea what was
going to
happen.
I knew there was going to be an interception because somebody in the criminals said something about an interception.
Uh-huh.
So I was just like waiting for it, waiting for it, waiting for it, waiting for it. And then when it happened, I was like, oh, my God,
that did not disappoint. Yeah.
There was a couple of plays, and yes, this is just happening. We're just shifting. No, I'm fine with this. Listen.
I was apologizing to the listeners.
No, but we've given the listeners a lot this week, Andrew. It's time for us to enjoy ourselves.
Yeah, right.
For once in our life, can we enjoy ourselves
on the
show?
Can we talk about what we want to talk about?
That interception, which then somehow we squandered, basically. Like, you intercept the ball with 2 minutes left in the game. That should sort of put the game away. In fact, the announcer even said that could effectively end the game. And then somehow we managed to, like, three and out it so hard. We basically Zuerlein's going to hit a 44-yarder, I bet you, 80% of the time. So we got so lucky that he missed that. But anyway, that interception was insane. And then the Chris Carson catch. That's the one where it's like, I don't think, you know, fourth and goal from the 5 or something with the game on the line. Honestly, I watched that with this, like I said, serenity that I would not normally have. I would have been a mess. And even when Chris Carson, when the ball's bouncing up in the air, I'm just sort of like, well, this is fine. This will all be fine.
Mm-hmm.
But that was like, I mean, how often does he pull that ball down? I feel like the chances of him catching that after it bounces off his shoulder pad are really, like, low. Like, that's actually, it should have been an easy play, but it ended up being a difficult play.
And the way he was so casual about the way he's kind of holding the ball at the end, it almost seemed like the play got broken up or something. Like, it almost, like, when I first saw it, like, you're talking about the Carson catch, right?
Yeah, the
Carson. Yeah, yeah. There was something about, like, when he grabs it, he's holding with one hand at the end that was so casual that I thought, oh, he must be out of bounds. Like, something about my brain, yeah, and my eye,
yeah,
it didn't look like it. I couldn't believe it, basically.
Well, how about the Lockett catch?
I know.
That was, so I read, the Seattle Times today said that based on next-gen stats, that had a 6.3% possibility of being completed, which made it the most unlikely catch in the NFL in two seasons.
Oh, my God. Like, that's amazing.
And then there was like this kind of,
and
like,
indisputable, too. That's what I like about it. It's not about a call.
Yeah, right. There's this conspiracy theory that Russell Wilson was trying to throw the ball away and just messed up.
I don't. It wasn't that high. I mean, if we're actually saying it, because that's what it impressed me about that is because you don't have a DK Metcalf back there. Like, that seems perfect for him. He's big. You can go kind of high, and if he doesn't get it, then it's out of bounds. But this is a little Lockett. This is a little Tyler back there. That's what was, and it's just, I mean, I'm no sports analyst, but people talk about the magic and the relationship between those two, between Russell and Tyler, and it's just like, it's indisputable. How does that happen?
Yeah. How do we have this? Nobody made this.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really, I'm very, very, very excited about that that working out last night. That was
so
awesome.
So back to, now what are we going to do? Now that we've done this, are we going to do a no point conversion on Tuesday when we're back after the Browns?
Oh, we got to do that. See, I thought we were just doing this week's no point. I don't know. How do you feel about the Browns? Who are they playing this week?
That's what I'm trying to remember. I know this. Let me take a look at the Browns schedule because I'm a little bit. So this week on Monday Night Football, oh, they're playing the 49ers.
Oh, geez.
Which, are the 49ers still undefeated?
Yeah, they are.
How does that happen?
Well, that's going to be exciting.
That'll be exciting on Monday night. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know how the 49ers have gotten those wins. Like what they look like as a team.
I mean, we have nothing useful to offer to this, but we could do a no point on Tuesday and talk Cleveland Browns and Minnesota Twins.
Oh, yeah. I would like that.
Poor Stu's ears are going to fall off if he hears us talking. We maybe need to get him on to talk Twins. I'm actually very excited about this, just to keep going with the sports thing. I'm so psyched about the Twins being in the postseason, and I'm psyched about them playing the Yankees because, again, peace and love, New York listeners. We had a great time with you two nights ago. But your team, your baseball team, if you're a Yankees fan, can take a long walk off a short pier as far as I'm concerned. And the Twins, I mean, the David and Goliath-ness of this is like the Twins, in my mind, are like one of the more lovable baseball franchises out there.
Mm-hmm.
And the Yankees are, you know, kind of the evil overlords of baseball, in my opinion, as are the Dodgers, as are the Red Sox, any team that just has tons of money being pumped into it. And
the Marlins.
Marlins are usually obviously fourth on that list.
Yeah.
But like, I didn't actually realize until we were texting with Stu when he was like, yeah, we get to play the Yankees. I didn't realize that was the matchup. And I am like legit going to watch these games. Like, I'm legitimately excited because if the Twins somehow beat the Yankees, that would just be, well.
And this is a series, right? This isn't one of those one game
playoffs.
Yeah,
it's a series.
Okay, that's good. And the first one's tonight, I think, while we're doing our show then.
Oh, I'm not going to come to the show. I'm going to be watching the Twins game. Is that cool?
Well, what if we just divided it up? Like, I do like the first 15 minutes of the show. You watch the game. Maybe you text me and let me know what's going on. Then we swap out.
Yeah, that sounds good. Tag out.
But
hey, how are you feeling about tonight's show? This is the last one. We've never done the show from a boat.
We've done shows from boats.
Oh yeah,
not in front of other people,
right? Not a live, not with a live crowd.
Yeah, this is actually at least the third show we'll have done from a boat.
I love it. I was like, we've never done the show from a boat. We've done the show 17 times from a boat. I've done it from my boat by myself. Remember once at Seafair?
I remember that, and I remember when you did that just because I didn't want it. While you were on a boat, I didn't want to just be in my apartment.
Yeah, where'd you go?
I drove to like my favorite corner, and it was like, was it Hollywood and Vine? Or something? Or it was somewhere in Hollywood. I just pulled over and you were there. I was in my car. Let's see. We did the one with Camaro Kev and the gang on the boat. We did the Eclipse show
from
your boat. I think those are the only two where we did them together.
I love it. I can't believe how bad my memory is becoming. Anyway.
Well, do you remember John Hodgman was on the Eclipse boat with us?
Oh, right.
You don't remember that?
That was one of those moments. that was really fun and unpredicted and ended up being funny was the fact that I was all mad at him about not being in his book.
Right.
And I was totally in the book.
Also, are you just straight up flattered that Hodgman remembers more times being on your show than you remember him being on your show? And I'm not saying that as a joke or to neg you, but when you said, oh, yeah, you've been on the show once before, we did a live show in New York, and he said, yes, I've also been on TBTL, like, in the studio years and years ago, and you were like, oh, yeah, like, you haven't totally blacked it out, but you weren't thinking of it. You weren't
remembering it. I was just pretending like I remembered
it. Is that true?
Yeah, I don't remember.
You don't remember that at all?
I don't remember that specifically happening, but I trust that it did.
Like, who has been probably to a million radio stations and done a million things. Don't you think the likelihood would be more of him not remembering it?
Yes.
So are you kind of like high on your own supply there?
Not off of that. I am high off of the supply of being in the book. That makes me happy.
Yeah, I'll bet you.
But anyway, yeah. So as far as tonight goes, how are you feeling?
A little unprepared, but
really?
I mean, we're always like, unprepared, and like, but I shouldn't say we're always unprepared. That sounds kind of disrespectful to the audience. But like, the last two shows we did, we woke up in the morning, we did a TBTL like you and I are doing now. We said after the show, we'll figure out the more of the details of what the show is going to look like, and then we put it together. And so I think tonight's show is going to be good. Right now, I feel a little bit overwhelmed by the number of things that we still have to do. I mean, from the logistics of figuring out the door and figuring out some other logistical things that are going on and setting up all the equipment in there, plus producing the show and putting that together. I just feel like we have a lot to do in kind of a short amount of time. But I will say I'm the one who said, hey, want to record at 10 a.m. tomorrow instead of 9 a.m.? So, I'm the one who kind of got us off to a late start. So I hope I don't sound like I'm like complaining or freaking out about it or anything.
No, I think it's going to be fun. I think it's we've never been at sea with 300 listeners.
That is true.
That's going to be like you use the word intense about the, talking about hanging out with the listeners, and there is a certain intensity to it. We're both, I think, really grateful that we get to do this for our job, but something that we hear from the listeners on a fairly regular basis is, hey, I went through some really tough stuff. And listening to the show kind of maybe took my mind off it, or it felt like something consistent, which is such a lovely thing for us to hear. But it is, some of the conversations can be on the intense side.
Mm-hmm.
And so, we're going to have – I don't think every conversation will go like this on the boat. A lot of them will just be, probably more light and casual. But it is an intense experience to be anywhere with a bunch of people who listen to the show. Mm-hmm. Because I think, at least for me, I operate from the premise that it's like nobody should be listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone says something nice about it, it's very hard for me to just accept that information. And also, it's interesting because the listeners know so much more about what we've said on the show than we do. They're the John Hodgmans of the dynamic.
That's definitely true. People will be like, I'm the one who left you the voicemail about this. And I never want to lie and just be like, oh, yeah. And so, but then I find myself being too honest, being like, I'm sorry, I don't remember that one, which is nobody really wants to hear that, but I also don't want to be a bullshitter.
Right. So, yeah, it's going to be – I think it's going to be a really fun night, but there will be a certain amount of intensity to it. How are you going to celebrate tomorrow now that you've been through this week of three live shows in basically like 5 days in all of these kind of weird configurations? Like, what is Andy's going to do tomorrow?
That's so funny because I always like look forward to those days so much, and then somehow like they can never live up to its nothingness that I wanted to. Sometimes you do nothing, but then you feel like, but then you fall asleep too early or something. Because I just have this dream of just like sleeping in late on Saturday, going to get some late brunch with Genevieve somewhere. The Husky game is on, which Genevieve's interested in watching, so I might do that. But I also kind of like the idea of just like kind of mind melding with some Madden. I know that's a lot of M's mood. but I just want to really, really kick it. Then Sunday I'm going back because there's no football getting in the way of it. Sunday I'm going to be going back to volunteer at Pop-Up Kitchen again. So that'll be good to see the gang again. And shout out to listener Kent, who volunteers with me there at the kitchen. He's going to be on the boat tonight, so that's good. I'll see him. So I'm going to play it really easy. One thing I want to say about tonight, like when we're done with the show and we're hanging out, a little warning for people who will hear this before the show. The folks in New York will attest to this. I am doing something that is maybe a little bit awkward or could come off as rude, but I'm doing it with really, really good intentions, which is when you come up to me, I say, shut up. Shut up in your face. No. I am – when I meet you and I learn your name, I might 5 minutes later say, I'm sorry, tell me your name again. And I'm like doing it because I am legitimately trying to remember people's names. I'm terrible at it. I remember reading a long time ago somebody being like, if you're bad at remembering people's names, you're just being selfish because nobody's bad at remembering people's names. But I do feel like it's a big mental – I'm bad at remembering everything, right?
I don't necessarily agree with that theory though, because I mean if it's like you work somewhere and you work with the same 10 people and you don't bother to learn their names, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But if you're meeting, you know, of the 300 people there tonight, I'm sure we'll already know 200 of them. Mm-hmm. From other events. But, you know, if you're still meeting 100 people who you don't know their name yet, it would be – quite something if you were retaining all of their names.
Yeah. So there were a couple of times, and then especially in New York, like we were at that beer garden or wherever we were hanging out there for a while, and of course I'm having beers, so the memory thing isn't sharpening the brain.
Sure. Beer, the great sharpener.
Right. You know, a few times I'd meet somebody and I'd be like, I'd get your names, and then I would say, I'm sorry, okay, what is that again? Because I really want to get this in my brain. And then a couple of times it would be like 5-10 minutes later, I'd be like, I know it. Just remind me one more time. Like, it was embarrassing. One of the people I met was Megan Toomey. I don't know if you got to meet Megan.
Yeah, she's from Horseheads.
Yes, exactly. Been a donor forever. And we always
sent
see
me
her
home
name.
With some Ithaca is Gorgeous coffee, which I brought to Seattle, and I'll be bringing to Bellingham.
I got a can of that as well. And so, anyway, it was kind of – that was the most embarrassing one because I had drilled down on their names. We had a whole conversation about her last name. But then I'm sitting there. I'm in a whirlwind of a conversation. And then I just really wanted to remember. I'm sorry. One more time, your name. She's like, Megan Toomey. We just talked about this. I'm like, yes, I know that. But I hope I'm not being rude or like kind of intrusive by doing that. I'm just being honest. If you're a listener of the show, you know my brain is bad. But I legit feel like I've been in too many meet and greets, if we're calling them that, or post-show events for TBTL, where I'm embarrassed to ask again. Mm-hmm. And so I'm just like, it's gone to history. I'm just going to call you Bub.
Yeah.
And I don't want to just call everybody Bub. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm trying, and that's the thing. Yeah. And because of that, I think I am remembering not everybody's, but a lot more people's names after New York. And I felt like I was able to like spend more time and actually kind of get to know some people as opposed to just spending like 30 seconds and then being pulled in another direction back and forth.
The alternative is we could just hope that somebody brings those name tag stickers again.
Oh, that's true too. Yeah,
that's true. Those are very, very helpful for all of us.
Yeah, that's a good point. All right. I know you know about TBTL, the podcast. You're listening to it right now, but have you tried TBTL, the newsletter? Because you can. Just go over to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. I gotta say, it's a lot of fun. Every week, Luke and I record a little video that we include in the newsletter. It's called Hey Dummies. We answer your questions, any questions you want to ask us. Well, there's all kinds of things in the newsletter. Don't take my word for it. Here, this is Mary. She's a big fan of the newsletter.
It has a nice welcome introduction, but then you have these phenomenal GIFs that are so much fun. You talk about amazing, wonderful people, and you introduce us to new things. And then the songs of the week. Oh, my gosh. And it just makes me so happy.
It can make you happy, too. I mean, listen, this is coming from Mary. She doesn't even listen to the podcast. She's here just for the newsletter. No joke. So, again, go to tbtl.net and click on the button that says sign me up for the TBTL newsletter. And we'll try to bring a little extra sunshine to your inbox every Friday afternoon.
All right, let's do some music for your weekend before we get out of here. Andrew, do you want to start things off or do you want me to?
I can. I was listening to the Pixies' new album.
What?
I almost played this a couple of weeks ago, but I wanted to...
I didn't know they had a new album.
Yeah, it just came out. Like, yeah, one morning I just woke up and Spotify was like, hey, you want to listen to this new Pixies album that just dropped last week? And I was like, oh... Listen, I don't want to be a bummer.
How many eyeball slicing references are there?
Zero. I will say, and I was going to try not to say this, I'm not super impressed with the album. But I'm not going to go into it. It's not working for me as a complete album. But there are a few songs on it that I really like. And near the end, there's the song Daniel Boone. So I'm going to play a little bit of that. I legitimately do like this song. Okay. I didn't know how to feel. I guess the only reason I bring that up is, you know, the Pixies were just such an important band for me. They were one of those first bands where I was like, wait, people are making music like this, like that I can't even compare to anything else. I'm in high school and my friend Dave Smilak made me a Pixies mix. He's like, you don't know these guys.
Smilac, though your heart is breaking.
Ask your doctor about Smilac. but ask your doctor if Smilac is right for you.
Could that be the show title?
Anyway, it would just be really hard for the Pixies to come back in 2019 and like really wow me.
Yeah.
But I try to keep open mind, open heart.
Sure. Open Hearts Collection.
Yeah. And it seems to be thematic in some way that I can't quite explain. It's really a lot of the album. I actually don't think you would like it, Luke, because a lot of the album, he sounds like he's doing, which in my mind sounds good in theory. It's like the music sounds like Pixies, but he's kind of doing a latter day Tom Waits kind of growly thing and kind of storyteller thing, which really doesn't appeal to you, I think.
That's kind of two bad tastes that taste bad together.
Oh,
in
you
my
don't
mind.
Even like the Pixies at all, really?
No, I do. The funny thing is, I have this real hard eye roll about Frank Black and some of the kind of imagery, and, you know, I jokingly talk about Slice and Eyeballs as it's just a lot of the vibe around the lyrics and his singing style isn't for me, and yet I genuinely love like five Pixie songs are in
those poppy, those,
the real poppy ones. But I mean, you know, like Where Is My Mind? I really like Debaser. This Monkey's Gone to Heaven. Here Comes Your Man.
Which is funny because Debaser is the Slicing Up Eyeball song.
Right.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
So it's like I kind of crap on the Pixies, but there's a handful of Pixie songs that if they come on, I'm like, oh, yes.
Yeah.
So there you go.
And for me, I guess while we're just doing this, for me, one thing I always liked about the Pixies too is that, like, a lot of the lyrics were kind of inscrutable, but they felt important, but you didn't know necessarily what was going on. And this album, like, the lyrics seem a little bit just like kind of they just kind of lay there for me. They seem kind of in a lot of cases very literal in the storytelling way, and it just doesn't seem to have like that lyrical depth.
Does he
that
yell
I like
Andalusia anytime?
The whole thing, the whole
well,
time.
That's
all it
I
is.
I like it when he does that.
It's just the whole all 12 tracks. And that's it. But anyway, I'm not. It's music for a weekend. I'm not trying to crap all over the record. I don't know how other people feel. And now that I sat on a plane and I listened to it three times in a row yesterday, I really want to read some reviews and see what other people are saying about it, because it could be one of those things where sometimes when it becomes a shared experience and somebody says, yeah, but look, you know, look at this song and what he's doing here, I might end up liking it more because I want to like it. And I do like this song.
Okay.
Okay. So after all of that, here is a song called Daniel Boone. This comes up damn near the end of the new record, which is called Beneath the Eyrie. So that's has a bit of
I like
a slower
that.
Build up than I thought
that
it did.
That is like
but.
The nicest, that's the least mad Frank Black has ever been at me. I feel like it's, honestly that feels like a totally different side of him.
Yeah.
Like, it's more vulnerable.
It
I mean,
still has a dark quality to it. It's funny, I was listening on the plane, this whole album has a really like intentional dark sound to it, which I know sometimes they're weird.
Don't Stay in My House, by the way.
Yes. But this one, this is one of the lighter songs on it, but it still does have that kind of like, it's
ominous.
Got an ominous sound, yeah.
Well, today's music for your weekend should be called White Guys of a Certain Age. Because guess who else has a new record out today?
Dad types?
Yeah.
I don't know.
None other than Wilco.
Oh, really?
Every white dad type's favorite music.
Yes.
Wilco. It's called Ode to Joy, and it's kind of funny because I don't know what the reviews are on the new Pixies album, but the reviews are crazy good for this new Wilco album. Like, everywhere. Now, granted, it's probably music writers of a certain age who tend to be male. You know what I mean? I think there's a bunch of, like, 45-year-old music writers that like Wilco, and they love this album. But, like, it's everyone's saying that this is, like, it's like Yankee Hotel Foxtrot in that it was kind of like a breakthrough would be the wrong way to describe it, because, you know, they've been a popular band for a long time. But sometimes when a band's been around for a long time, they put out an album, it's just kind of like, okay, they made another album. And then sometimes they make one, you're like, oh, creatively they're doing something really different. And that is all of the talk around this album, Ode to Joy.
I'm very excited about this. I'm not somebody who gets excited about new Wilco records. Again,
right.
Yankee Foxtrot, I love, would be one of my favorite records of all time, but I'm not somebody who's deep into Wilco.
Yeah.
And I'm with you. I'm kind of like, okay, Wilco's got a new album. Okay, that's fine. I'll hear some songs off it. But you've really made me want to dig into this now.
It's getting really, really good reviews. I listened to the whole thing today, and I really liked it. And this song, which, if you don't mind playing from your side.
Yeah, I got it.
Now, just one quick note. The song is called Everyone Hides. There's a video of it, which has some little intrusions, because the video is actually very cute. It's the band is playing, you know, at their practice space, like in Chicago. And then they decide to play hide and go seek. And Jeff Tweedy's like counting down from 1,000, and all the other members of the band go, and they all go on these little adventures to hide. And Jeff Tweedy, as soon as he gets down to zero, he just locks the door of the band space and starts eating Chinese food and watching TV. He just wanted to get everybody out of the rehearsal space. It's actually pretty cute. But if you were going to play that version, I was going to say there's a lot of Jeff Tweedy pretend counting. This song, Everyone Hides, is off of Ode to Joy. This is Wilco. It's my Music for Your Weekend selection.
If you're telling yourself a story where the secrets twist like vines, and you know where the bodies are buried, but you can't remember where you buried your minds. Oh, no one denies. Everyone hides. Oh, oh, everyone hides. You're selling yourself on a tale where the details drip with time, where the point gets lost in the telling, and the telling was the point all the while. Deep inside, everyone hides. Oh, oh. Some of the time.
So that's the new Wilco. This is definitely one of the poppier numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of the other songs are actually a little bit more spare, and they're kind of like, I'm trying to think of, I can never remember the names of Wilco songs, because a lot of times it feels like the names are not related to the song itself.
Mm-hmm.
But some of those sort of classic Jeff, just sort of mostly Jeff Tweedy's voice, kind of slower moving songs, but they're lovely. You know what I mean? Like, so it's this isn't, the whole album isn't quite this poppy, but it's probably my favorite song that I've heard so far, because I like things that are poppy.
Yeah. Yeah. So do I. But of course you like things that are pretty countrified too, though, too. And they have some like real folky stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's nice.
All right. So now it's time for the listener suggestion, which will bring us to the end of this broadcast week. The show that we tape on the boat tonight, that'll be Monday's episode of the program.
I'm so looking forward to getting stuff done on Monday. I mean, yeah, like, you probably sleeping in a little bit and catching up, you know, after this week of work. But, like, I just have, I feel so scattered right now. Like, just literally, like,
You're excited to do your Concur expenses?
I forgot about that. But, like, I travel with a different computer than my real computer where I keep all of my audio archives. So I've got a bunch of, like, intros and stuff we made while we're on the road that I just sort of feel, like, mentally scattered right now, having been in a few different cities and doing this stuff. And so I'm looking forward on Monday just to, like, close the things that close. Just bring everything together, put everything back where it needs to be in my life. Like, kind of literally when it comes to files and expense reports and stuff like that, but also just kind of mentally put everything getting back together here at home base.
Yeah, I got an email from Concur that says I'm 10 days away from them deducting certain travel charges from my paycheck.
That's probably from the stuff that you booked way in advance, right? The hotels.
So I've got to close a few things that close myself, or they're going to close my bank account.
Yeah.
The listener suggestion is comes from listener Josh. Josh keeps it short and sweet, which you got to respect. Hey, buds. New Alex G out today. Hella dope. Check out the song Gretel. Your boy, Josh in Tacoma.
Do you know Alex G?
I do because of Addy S. Addy turned me on to this guy, Alex G, a while ago, and I really like his stuff. This song has kind of a funky beginning, but it really picks up about a minute and a half in. So if you even want to start playing it now, Andrew, you could, because I think that the real sweet spot of the song comes a little ways into it. But yeah, this guy, he's just this kid.
Why is he sometimes called Sandy
Alex
G? I
don't understand youth culture, Andrew, is the answer.
It says Alex G, but then it's like parentheses Sandy before that. And then when you look him up, sometimes he's Alex G, but often he's Sandy Alex G.
He does not identify strictly as an Alex.
I guess so.
Andrew, he's also a Sandy. And I don't know what the sort of system is on that, but I know that this guy makes really cool music. So that's what we'll go out with. This is again by way of listener Josh. It's Alex G or Sandy. Someone will explain that to us, I'm sure. The song is Gretel. Boy oh boy! Thank you so much for listening, everybody. This week of shows. Thank you to everybody who came out to the various live programs. It was so much fun. Intensely talking to all of you. And we'll see some of you tonight at the boat as well. So thanks for listening. Thanks for being part of TBTL. Have a great weekend. We'll be back here on Monday with more Imaginary Radio for you. Until then, please remember, no mountain too tall.
And good luck to all.
Power out.